Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tuesday, short week. That Dolphins football just 2 days from now. Feel like Jimmy is like my mom. I once told her when I was a kid I liked meatloaf, and then I got meatloaf, you know, six nights a week. I told Jimmy once I like Motley Crue. I mean, you can't get through a show without hearing two Crue songs. Just kidding, Jimmy. I've taken Jimmy right out of the show in like 4 seconds.
I mean, we've played Kickstart My Heart 17 times in the past 6 weeks.
Yeah, I didn't tell my mom, you know, after a while, like, I like meatloaf. I just don't want it every night. Like, you're making me not like the meatloaf. I'm just teasing, Jimmy. You keep playing the music that you're playing. Crowder is on his way to Los Angeles. He had told us yesterday he's doing a Pivot episode out there. He may be able to join us today. He may not. But we have a loaded potato on this Tuesday. Josh Appel is going to join us. Aronde Gadsden's going to join us. Very reminiscent of a Tuesday at Twin Peaks. You know, we would do every other Tuesday at Twin Peaks. We're not doing it this year. Now, Twin Peaks is still a very good partner to the radio show, and hopefully we'll be able to do a couple shows out there at some point, but we're not doing our every other Tuesday broadcasts out there. But when we were out there on Tuesdays, Aronde would join us and Josh Appel would join us, and so we're redoing that today.
Very much like Stephen Ross has no idea why he's spending $6 million on game balls, Twin Peaks was looking at how many chocolate brownies OG was eating and saying, huh, what's going on here?
Is this the best use of our marketing dollars to have Aronde Gadsden come here and take us for free lunch and dessert every other week? And they said, you know what? Let's throttle it back a little bit. We love the radio show. We want to do everything, but we got to keep Aronde out of the restaurant. He's eating us out of house and home. Who had on their Dolphins bingo card this season Tyreek Hill appearing live on CNN with Caitlin Collins to be talking about how he got detained before a game? He did a good job on CNN. Here's my take on the whole situation, and we can ask Appel, and we can ask Aronde. You know, we watched, I'm assuming everyone's seen the police footage by now. As far as I'm concerned, he complied with the officer. He pulled over. He didn't make them give chase. He pulled over. He gave them his driver's license. And then he wanted to roll his window up, which, by the way, I would do on a hot Florida day. Secondly, if there were people around starting to take my picture, which was happening, I would want to roll my window up as well so I don't become tabloid fodder. I'm not telling you Tyreek Hill's an angel. I think he'd be the first one to tell you that he's not. But in my mind, the cops escalated a situation that didn't need to be escalated. They had his license. They could write him the infractions that they ended up writing. They weren't citing him for reckless driving. It was careless driving. We talked, with the ticket wizard yesterday told us that's a traffic infraction. If it was reckless driving, that's a criminal charge. Wasn't that? And it was a little much for me. I thought it was way overboard and way out of line, not necessary. This wasn't 2 a.m. in, some back neighborhood Circle K where something shady's going on. It's outside the stadium in the middle of the day, and they're there. By the way, they're there for traffic. Like, they're not there to investigate some armed robbery that just happened. They're there for traffic. So settle down. I read a tweet from a former police officer, a New York City cop, Angel Masonette, if anybody follows him on Twitter. retired New York PD. He says, my thoughts on the Tyreek Hill arrest slash detention. As a police officer, half the battle is de-escalation. Write the summons. You're walking away from the vehicle. Who cares if he puts his window up? You have his ID. It's not our job to teach grown people manners. Being rude isn't a crime. Yo, man, sweet ride. Why were you driving so fast? Slow down. Have a good game. I've let bona fide criminals that I had locked up in the past go for similar violations. Should you follow a lawful order when stopped? Yes. But there were plenty of opportunities to squash this. His friend pulls over to see what's going on. Why are you so aggressive with him? Your friend is being detained. Please keep driving. It's unsafe to park here. There are enough legitimate criminals out there that we have to worry about. These police officers were unprofessional, in my opinion. That's former New York police officer. And I saw today, the Miami PD, the chief of police for the Miami PD. Now, understand, the Miami PD was not involved in this. But the Miami PD released a statement. The body-worn camera footage depicting the interaction between members of the Miami-Dade police and Mr. Hill is hard to watch. But it's a reminder that we must always strive to do better. Despite no city of Miami police involvement, I pray we can move forward and use this incident to forge a stronger partnership between our professional athletes, the community, and the brave men and women who are sworn to protect us all. When we work together, we all win. That's Chief of Police Manuel Morales. And I would just say on you know, that line of thinking, I thought Tyreek Hill on CNN last night, he was like, yeah, it'd be great if we can turn this into a positive. He's like, I'm talking to my wife. I want to make this a positive because I respect most people in law enforcement, know that they have a tough job. By the way, I've talked about this on this radio show a million times. I watch OP live every Friday and Saturday night. You guys make fun of me, but I sit down, we watch live police departments. It's like Sunday Ticket for police departments across the country. My wife and I watch it. I have such a greater appreciation of police than I've ever had after watching this show for a year. They have to deal with some of the worst crap that you would never want to deal with. I mean, just awful and monotonous stuff. Half the time, you know, they're babysitters to adults who are acting like children. I've got all the respect in the world for that because it's hard to control your anger. I watch it on TV. I get angry. So I get it. But I also marvel when I'm watching that show at just how well most of those cops do in de-escalating situations that could go awry. And that cop did not de-escalate. He escalated. That's my only issue. Like, I can look at that pretty clearly in my mind. Tyreek Hill was pulled over. He pulled over. He was asked to give his license. He gave his license. But he wasn't friendly enough for one cop. And so that cop wanted to big man him. Put your window down. I don't want to put my window down. Put your window down. And then the other guy, and then the way that they took him to the ground. I mean, it was just silly on their part. Like, it was so unnecessary and so unprovoked. Sorry if he wasn't being the nicest guy in the world to you. But you know what? He was going to do something that was pretty important to him. Anytime you get pulled over, anyone, it's a pain in the ass. You don't have to be nice. You should be respectful. But you don't have to thank someone. And by the way, Tyreek Hill, at the end of that police footage, thank them. Thank them. So for me, cop escalated that. One cop escalated that. Unfortunate. Because I thought that was ugly to watch.
It's why I know these issues can be so divisive, and then the footage is released, and it appears in our society like everybody kind of has drawn a line in the sand of where they're going to stand on this, no matter what the context is. But Hawk, I mean, I think anybody who respects the jobs on a daily basis that officers do, as you just mentioned, can also look at this situation specifically and acknowledge this could have all been avoided. Yeah. Period. This could have all been avoided. It doesn't
write
mean
him the citations.
Right. And
that's it. Go about your business. You did your job. Write him the citations. I mean, the way that the cop just ran over there and yanked him out of the car, and then, you know, he's trying to sit down and listen, is he taking his own sweet time sitting down? Maybe. Who gives a bleep? Who gives a bleep? What is that cop doing? So Tyreek's not sitting down fast enough for the cop that's running over from the side. It's like, okay, he's not sitting down fast enough for you, so you're going to show, because he's in cuffs, that you're in command of the situation. You're pretty well in command of the situation. He's in cuffs. You have his ID.
By the way, at the end of the day, he was charged with going 60 miles per hour, careless driving, and not wearing a seatbelt. You would like to imagine in an instance where anybody was pulled over going 60 in a 45, 55, whatever it is, and not wearing a seatbelt, it doesn't result because you weren't as kind as the officers wanted you to be.
Right, as compliant.
Face down on the pavement outside of your workplace.
They escalated that. I'm sorry. It's pretty obvious. They escalated it. Period, end of story. So we can talk about it, and we'll see the way that it plays out. But I did watch Tyreek on CNN last night. I was also watching the Jets game. I had money on Breece Hall. Breece Hall, over 29.5 receiving yards. He had 39 receiving yards. Cash that ticket if you super follow me on Twitter. Big old winner. We are back, baby. We are so back.
Week one of the NFL, Hawk. Pretty good to us overall. I'm not going to lie.
Pretty good to us.
Dolphins
won.
Good.
Oh, you know what? I meant to look and see, because the Dolphins game player props were up this morning, but none for rushing.
Hmm.
Well, no Dolphins rushing props, because I'm sure they're still waiting to see who's going to play running back. That affects the rushing props, obviously. You don't know. Devon Achane and Raheem Mostert are both on the injured list.
Yeah, we don't know who's going to play either.
So I wanted to put my Tua rushing yards in. No, it's still not there. The only rushing props, James Cook for Buffalo, 63.5 yards. Josh Allen, 39.5 yards. Kind of feel like taking the over on that. Anyway, Josh Appel's going to join us. Aronde Gadsden's going to join us. We have a lot to talk about. We're going to play the Don Bailey Jr. calls from Saturday's UM-FAMU game. Not great, huh, Solana?
Let's just say week one, he crushed it. Week two, it could have been better.
Admittedly, we gave him some different difficult calls. Right? I mean,
did we? I don't think we gave him difficult calls. One of them was difficult. There's no doubt about it, which he attempted. But the other three were pretty straightforward, Hawk. I mean, pretty rudimentary stuff for DBJ.
Right.
And also,
we'll get it back week against Ball State.
He only did two calls. Let's be honest here. I mean, against FAMU, DBJ, I love you, but
I don't think he liked what we gave him. I don't think he liked what we gave him. But we'll make it up to him.
Okay.
He'll join us Thursday. We have that contest going on online, women's professional soccer, coming to South Florida. We've got tickets if you want to win them. You want to see Fort Lauderdale United FC at Nova Southeastern on September 29th. If you want to win those tickets, go enter right now at WQAM.com. Go to WQAM.com, click on contest. You can enter right there. Let us begin today's show with headlines. And Alejandro Solana, it's brought to you by Doral Kia. At Doral Kia, choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory, like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. Remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia.
Tua Tagovailoa is speaking to the media. I think he just got
wrapped
up.
You're talking about the NFL's leading passer?
I am. Did have the most passing yards in week one, baby. Somebody commented on one of our YouTube posts, Hawk, like, glad we got the win, and just us reacting to it yesterday, talking about Tua's performance. Somebody commented on the YouTube post, and they're like, okay, but if you take away his 80-yard pass and then the one other pass,
he only threw
for 190. And yep. It's like, hey, you can't just take away his completions to his number one wide receiver. Like, how does that make sense?
I saw a great post. Who's that guy? Is it Alfredo Ortega?
Yeah.
He tweeted out, if you take away all of Tua's completions on Sunday, he had no completions. Something along those lines. Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. You know, by the way, I don't mind doing that once in a while if the rushing game was able to muster 6 yards, except in the fourth quarter when the defense is in a prevent defense, somebody breaks one for 61 yards. I don't have a problem in that situation going, hey, you know what? If you take away that junk time 61-yard gallop, they really were unable to move the ball. But you can't do that with that. I mean, that's what the offense is predicated on. Like, not just long throws, but also yak. So, yeah, silly, infuriating.
Alfredo Arteaga, who is an excellent follow on Twitter, by the way, from the 3 Yards Per Carry podcast. If you take away Tua's 23 completions, he was 0 of 14. Terrible performance.
Yeah, and he's not wrong.
No, I mean, that's the Ryan Tannehill thing for years. But we had, like, a large enough sample size. Garbage time, Tanny was going to rack up some yards. Like, that's what he did. He was just,
and it happens.
Yes, he was mediocre throughout the first 3.5 quarters. Dolphins were down 3 scores. He'd come in, put 2 drives together, and you'd lose by 9. And his numbers looked respectable. But, yeah, he was just putting up numbers in garbage time. But it didn't happen in one game. Like, this was 4 years, 5 years worth of us being able to realize, Ryan Tannehill is just an okay quarterback.
Tannehill had very good numbers on Sunday. Now, if you want to pick it apart, but I could do that with any numbers. I mean, it's why the radio ratings, television ratings, like, you can always find something favorable or unfavorable if you're trying to tell a positive story or negative story. Like, you could do that with any kind of numbers. If you just look at the numbers in totality, like, they extended Tua, they extended Tyreek, they extended Jalen Waddle, they extended Mike McDaniel. Game one kind of paid dividends, in my opinion. Tua has the most yards passing in the NFL. You're 1-0. You were looking bad, but were able to make enough adjustments to come out of there with the dub. Like, yeah, I'm good with Sunday.
But, Hawk, the guy led the league in passing last year.
Didn't matter to anybody.
Right, but I'm saying, like, week one, he leads the league in passing in one game. You can't go, well, okay, but he had an 80-yard completion. Well, yeah, jackass. That's why he led the league in passing, because he makes those throws. So that's part of his weaponry. That's part of his offense. Just a weird thing people are doing. You guys call me the Tua hater on this show, but, like, I find myself having to defend this guy constantly on social media because people want to, like, really nitpick his games more than other guys. It's a weird
right.
thing.
Like,
that's
for him, the yards only count if they're through the air. For every other quarterback, however you gain them. But with Tua, it has to be in the air.
Weird, man.
Get over yourselves.
Weird. With all that being said, maybe a couple less screen passes out to the flats. Okay, McDaniel? Just a couple less. Dolphins, they play Thursday versus the Buffalo Bills, 8:15. I'll get you some Tua sound. I think Tobin was able to cut it up for us. He just sent it to us. So we'll play some of that coming up later. I know he discusses a Tyreek Hill incident, and he also looks ahead to Thursday's matchup. As Hawk mentioned, Achane and Mostert both on the injury report, and there's no confirmation of whether either of those guys are good to go for Thursday. It doesn't mean they're not, by the way, just
right.
No confirmation.
It was Frank Smith was asked that today, and he was noncommittal.
Yeah. What'd you think of Aaron Rodgers in his debut last night, Hawk?
Dude threw some dimes. I'm not certain that I believe in the Jets the way some people have been talking about them during the offseason. San Francisco's really good, though. But he certainly doesn't. I mean, he's not washed. Like, there was that free play. There was a penalty called. It was a free play. He's the king of that. He threw an absolute dime. I think it was to Alan Lazard.
Yeah.
Threw an absolute dime. Like, there were times where I was watching him, even on the first score that they made, which ended up in a run. But yeah, he looked fine to me. But I'm not like right now. I still believe Miami and the Bills are the best two teams in the AFC East.
Hey, are there updated odds on the AFC East winner right now? Have the Dolphins moved it out? Because remember, they were third on pretty much every betting website. Buffalo won or New York won. And then the Dolphins were third.
I would doubt that one game moved it.
I think David Fironis summed it up excellent on Twitter last night. The Jets are ass, bro.
Let's see. AFC East division winner. Right now, Dolphins are the favorite at plus 165. Bills are plus 195. Jets plus 200. And the Patriots plus 2250. And they were plus 2500. So it came down to touch for them.
Okay. Dolphins win Thursday, though, Hawk. I would imagine there will be some movement in who the favorite in the AFC East is going to be.
Curious what Aronde and Appel think is going to happen on Thursday, because I am torn, man. I am torn.
All right, so the final score, 32-19 yesterday. Christian McCaffrey ended up not playing, but Jordan Mason is just the next guy in Kyle Shanahan's offense that looks like a superstar. So there you have it. They drafted a quarterback with the third overall pick. He's in Dallas backing up Dak Prescott. And they have Mr. Irrelevant, who's going to get the bag next year. Christian McCaffrey, they traded for him 2 seasons ago, was the NFL Offensive Player of the Year last year. He can't go week one. Don't worry about it. We've got an undrafted guy. He'll give you 147 yards and a touchdown.
System.
One other big note, the Steelers, according to Ian Rappaport, are planning to start Justin Fields on Sunday.
Pretty wild to me.
Once again.
Pretty wild to me. Russell Wilson, I kind of felt all offseason that Mike Tomlin was not into Russell Wilson, and now I think that's pretty evident.
The reason I'm surprised is because this is a game against the Broncos. So this would have been like perfect scenario, revenge game. Let's see what you got, Russ.
Yep.
He's going to stick with Justin Fields. All right, Hockey Weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE. YourAccidentAttorneys.com. Free consultations. Was a monsoon on my drive in. Seems to have cleared up a bit here in North Miami, but I know it's raining in parts of South Florida. Hot and humid, around 85 degrees. Hawk, that is your weather.
All right, very good. Crowder is on his way to Los Angeles. May join us today if he can, but Josh Appel is going to join us next. Aronde Gadsden's going to join us in the 3 o'clock hour. So do not go anywhere.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
That is some cojones, boys! Wow!
Hawk and Crowder.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Motley Crue, can't get enough. You like Motley Crue, Appel?
Yeah, but they're a band for me that I don't know like the names of the songs, but I know the songs when I hear them.
At strip clubs.
Excuse me?
At strip clubs. You hear Motley Crue at strip clubs.
Yeah.
That touched a nerve?
No. I was going to make a joke, but I held off.
Good start.
What do you want me to do with that? What do you want me to do with that?
All right. Fair enough. Josh Appel is joining us on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. By the way, reminder, before we talk a little football here, if you're looking for Canes or Dolphins merch this season, check out Caneswear in Davie. They're on University Drive next to La Spada's, or you could check out all the gear online at caneswear.com. Josh Appel, as you know, is the Marlins public address announcer at Lone Depot Park, and he calls NFL games on Sports USA, among other games that he does throughout the year. Soccer, hockey, he does it all. Josh Appel is joining us now. I'll start with the Dolphins, and we can get to the Tyreek Hill footage in a moment. But I want to start with the game itself. So Sunday, they didn't look, I don't know, particularly cohesive, I thought, in the first half. But they got it together. They end up coming out of there with a win. Did we learn something about the Dolphins, positive or negative, Do we learn something about them on Sunday?
I think that we learned that maybe they can win when they're not at their best against another good team. Like I would think Jacksonville is going to be right in the thick of the playoff race this season. I think that it was great for them to overcome what they didn't do in the first half. Defense played better in the second half, although they came really close to, you know, that if not for Javon Holland, having a much different conversation. But I mean, great teams, what they do when they get a sudden change moment like that, like the fumble recovery, they take advantage. And it didn't take the Dolphins long to do that, right? Like how many times over the years have the Dolphins been an underdog in a game and they're up 10, they're up a touchdown and they make a crucial mistake. And in that moment, you're like, ah, that's it. Like, you know what's coming.
It's exactly what Crowder was saying yesterday. He said, not only do you get that punch out from Javon, but then you turn it into 7. Like you take advantage of it rather than, all right, well, 3 and out. But at least we didn't let them in the end zone that time. Like that was such an unbelievable swing.
I think, well, yeah, it was 2 plays at a 14-point swing because it was the 80-yard play right after that. I think the other thing we learned is despite how much more cutesy the offensive play calling seemed generally, when they got down to some short yardage, it was like I was watching Lusaka Polite run on 3rd and 4th and short again. They went to Alec Ingold a couple times instead of, you know, as we know, an area that they've struggled in under Mike McDaniel has been these short yardage situations. So maybe in those situations, they've just said, you know what, we're going to be as simple as possible, hand it off to the fullback, the Pro Bowl fullback, to get a yard.
I said this yesterday to Hawk and Crowder, Appel, just based on what you said there, we learned that the Dolphins, despite facing some adversity, can figure out a way to win games. And as much as I would have liked to have seen them come out, looked absolutely great right off the bat, firing on the offensive side of the football, I almost prefer a game like that week 1 just for the sake of sanity. Okay, what happened to them against Tennessee last year, against Buffalo last year, perhaps we can take away that they've learned how to rebound. When things don't go right, they can still find ways to win.
Absolutely. And I mean, look, in the first half, even when we say they struggled, there were plays there for them to make on the offensive side, right? And then they had another turnover earlier in the game where they were immediately in field goal range, went 3 and out, and Sanders shanked the field goal. That was in the second half. So, I mean, look, there were a lot of things that were not pretty. I think it says a lot just in Tua's evolution as a player that everything you heard post-game was his speech at halftime, whatever he said, got the guys going and ready for the second half. A performance like that against Buffalo, probably not going to be as easy to come back from. But I think you got to like the gutsy, ugly, resilient win they had at home. And we say all this, Tua, 300-something yards passing, another big play to tie. Like, there was a lot of big plays in the passing game again. So we say all this stuff about how it was a down game for them. And the production is what it was from Tua Tagovailoa. So
I will say a fair text, though, here from one of the texters. They still have not beaten a team with a win this season.
So true.
You know, so you can't. We were joking in the first segment that, you know, people are like, well, if you take away the 80-yard pass from Tyreek, yeah, like it's kind of infuriating when people do this. They, for whatever reason, Tua's stats always have to be dissected towards the negative. Like, you can dissect stats towards the positive if you want. You can take any numbers and meet them any way that you want. With Tua, people always want to dissect it to the negative, and I don't understand it.
Nobody's having the Trevor Lawrence conversation right now. Could you imagine?
That guy stunk in the second half. He stunk.
If the performances were flipped, what the conversation would be like. And I like Trevor Lawrence, but I mean, this guy skates on everything.
What also drives me nuts, though, regarding that, like, oh, take away the 80-yard pass to Tyreek Hill.
It happened.
It's not like he threw a screen pass to Devon Achane and Achane broke 3 or 4 tackles and made the play. I mean, he threw it perfectly to the guy he's supposed to find for 80-yard touchdowns. That is a part of the Dolphins' offense. They didn't get lucky on that play. They executed a play they're constantly looking to execute.
And I don't know if you noticed this, and I don't know if it was a point of emphasis in the way they're running these plays now, but not a lot of quick throws, not a lot of first read. Like Tua was going through all of his reads. That's a big knock on him. He's a one read guy. He takes a snap and throws it wherever. A lot of going through his progressions. I believe on that one of the deep balls, either to Waddle or Tyreek, it was one of those situations. So there have been a few holes punched in the narrative after 1 week as it pertains to Tua. But they got a lot of stuff to clean up, and they know that. And I would say defensively, it was a better debut than Fangio had in his week one a year ago.
People were calling for Fangio in the first half.
They played really well in the second half.
Yeah, well, that was the thing. I said it to Crowder yesterday, too. I mean, that maybe tells you something about Anthony Weaver, right, that he made some halftime adjustments. I mean, he shut them down in the second half.
Absolutely, and Jordan Poyer dropped an interception early in the game, too. Like, there were plays there for them also. Jalen Phillips looked phenomenal. Loved that Calais Campbell was getting involved early in the pass rush because you weren't really sure what kind of production you were going to get from a guy like him at this point in his career. So it was good to see him get off to a good start. And we can ignore that Andrew Van Ginkle had a pick six yesterday for Minnesota. The Dolphins defense got it. Like, I'm sure you guys have talked about this. Emmanuel Acho highlighted it, and it's really, you know, caught traction generally in the NFL media circles. But that fourth and one from Jalen Ramsey, I think, I don't know if people have pointed this out in talking about that play. Remember, he's been not practicing for weeks now because of a hamstring injury. And so he's doing all of that, going coast to coast in pursuit of Travis Etienne on fourth down, one of the biggest plays of the game, while apparently dealing with a hamstring injury. And he's not that he's the guy going the hardest out there, but that effort, you're not going to find a lot like that elsewhere on a play like that.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday. Acho pointed it out, like, that's why he got that giant contract. Like, you're not going to see a lot of guys at that stage in the game that are going to be relentless like that. But that's what makes him so special.
Yeah, the Dolphins' best players yesterday stepped up when they needed to. But I will say this, as Devon Achane ends up on the injury report after one game.
You keep saying yesterday. Are you not used to being on Tuesdays?
Yeah, yesterday. Yesterday was Monday Night Football. That was a game yesterday. I'm just thinking Sunday. Okay, Sunday. Achane's on the injury report again. He popped up on it yesterday. That's what maybe I was saying. That'll be my spin zone. I feel like Achane's always on the injury report, and we know he missed a chunk of games twice last year. I don't like. Obviously, you love when he's on the field. He's one of their biggest weapons on offense, but it's becoming slightly concerning how often he is ending up on the injury report.
Although they put people on the injury report. I mean, we'll have to wait and see on Thursday night, obviously.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, how do you think Thursday night plays out? Because I'm torn on this game. Because I do think, even watching the Jets last night, I think Aaron Rodgers looked pretty good. But I'm not sold on the Jets. Crowder, you know, was talking up the Jets all offseason. I do think the Bills and the Dolphins are the best teams in the AFC East. I'm just torn on Thursday night. I don't have a feel one way or another.
Yeah, I don't either. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if it was another game similar to the one Buffalo played in their opener against Arizona. Because I'll tell you one thing, that Bills defense did not play very well on Sunday in week one. I think there are a lot of holes in that Bills defense, and we know how Josh Allen plays against the Dolphins. He is dealing with a hand injury to his non-throwing hand. He is going to play, though, so I am kind of curious how that affects him. But I could see this being a high-scoring game for both teams.
But if we're going to give the Dolphins credit, because I'm seeing a lot of people do this now as well, where they're saying, oh, Buffalo didn't look impressive over the Cardinals, which I agree. But if we're going to give the Dolphins credit for rebounding from a very bad first half, offensively at least, and defensively for the most part, and figuring out a way to win, Tua really finding and connecting the dots in the second half, don't we kind of have to approach the Bills win in the same light? Just based on the fact that Josh Allen, when push came to shove, figured it out and made plays to lead his team.
Oh, absolutely. They scored 34 points. I'm just saying, like, their defense has some issues that they're going to have to worry about going forward. They're always going to be in every game, and they're always going to be in the conversation because of Josh Allen. And they lost Stephon Diggs. Dalton Kincaid had only one catch because of how Arizona was playing him defensively. It was a lot of Khalil Shakir and James Cook. Like, he was using non-household names. I know James Cook has become one over the last season or so, but you look at the weapons he has, And he's one of those guys where it just doesn't matter who's out there with him. He's going to drag the guys that are on the field to 30 points at home in the opener. I'm always going to be wary of a Josh Allen-led team because of how good he is. But I think that they, because of what they lost defensively, I think they are a little vulnerable there. But you, I mean, like you said, 34 points. They won against an underrated Cardinal team, I think, in week one.
Including last night, so Sunday and Monday, and I guess you can include Thursday and Friday night as well. What was the most impressive thing you saw week one of the NFL season? Was it Anthony Richardson and that 60-yard throw?
Yeah, I'm trying to think in my head of other moments, but I mean, Anthony Richardson, after a slip, falling away essentially and launching one 70 yards in the air perfectly over two defenders. It's one of the best throws I've ever seen.
Unbelievable. He had, that was like miraculous.
He's such a weird player because he's never healthy. And when he is, he's got the most ridiculous stat lines where he's got 9 completions for 280 yards or whatever it was on Sunday. It's insane. He's such a fun player to watch. I just hope he's able to stay on the field because moments like that and just feats of athleticism like he showed on Sunday, that doesn't happen often. I mean, that throw had like everybody's jaw on the floor.
Appel, if you don't know, went to USF. He's a proud USF Bull, and UM has USF the week after Ball State, right? I think UM has Ball State Saturday, and then a week from they're in Tampa playing USF. USF hung with Alabama. You know, they hung with them.
USF not just hung with Alabama. They had a first and goal down by a touchdown in the fourth quarter, like 7 minutes to go, and then you saw the final score.
But what do you think? Because here, like in my head, PTSD from past hurricane seasons, I have, you know, some trepidation going a week from Saturday up to Tampa. This seems like one of those games that the Canes, you know, historically would just poop the bed. But we haven't had, I don't think, a quarterback like Cam Ward in 20 years. So what do you think? I'm not worried about Ball State this Saturday. Do you think the Bulls can give the Canes a game?
You know, it's funny. Before the season, I would joke with my friends who went to UM or are UM fans, and I would just say, like, you guys are looking ahead past Florida. USF, I mean, that might be one of their toughest games of the season. And I was kind of joking at the time. I'm almost serious at this point. Like, Miami got past Florida. You look at Georgia Tech, they're 2-1 now. Florida State doesn't look as good as everybody thought they did. I can't remember if Clemson's on their schedule or not. I thought Virginia Tech was going to be a tough game for them this year. Virginia Tech doesn't look as good as everybody
thought. Syracuse, Aronde's sons, Syracuse Orange. Yeah. That could be a big game to end the season.
They got Louisville on the schedule too. But aside from Louisville and Syracuse, like USF legitimately might be one of the more sneaky, difficult games for them. USF handled Jalen Milroe well, but Alabama, they got bailed out by a lot of Alabama penalties. Like the right tackle for Alabama in that game was playing like a terrorist with the amount of holding penalties he had that wiped out big plays. Cam Ward, as you said, is the best quarterback the Canes have had in more than a decade. Like they've had good quarterbacks, but not what Cam Ward is. And they've just got the dudes right now. I think USF can hang with them, especially at home, but I don't think Miami should. Like I'm going to take USF to cover, but I think Miami shouldn't have an issue winning that game. And if they do, then that's a problem.
You're saying USF at home, and I would never compare playing at Raymond James to what is now just an electric environment at Pitbull Stadium.
Fair.
But let's be honest here. That's going to be 90% Canes fans, right, gentlemen?
I think that you'll have a one of the bigger student turnouts that you it's going to be a night game. I think you're going to get a lot more maybe than if there was, there's a lot of enthusiasm. What I'm trying to say is there's a lot of enthusiasm in Tampa around that program right now.
I mean, who does Tito Banach count for? The Canes or USF? That's really the question.
It's so funny. He's going to root for UM. He's a UM guy. He's a fraud.
I get what he's saying, though, Hawk. I mean, you hang with Alabama, you only lose by 30 points. I mean, people are going to show up for the Bulls. I get it.
Well, listen, half the stadium at least is going to be UM fans. I'm just saying the turnout.
There's an easy out from Raymond James right over to Portillo's. And I mean, time
you mentioned strip clubs earlier, too. I mean, they're right there.
Is there right there? I don't know. I'll have to ask my son.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I know where Portillo's is. That's about it for damn for me.
Portillo's is a strip club.
Josh Appel, you hear him at Lone Depot Park. And the Marlins, they lose yesterday?
They lost yesterday. But how about Connor Norby, huh? I mean, I saw a great stat yesterday.
Guy seems legit.
Yeah, he's got 13 extra base hits going into last night in his first 18 games with the Marlins. And the only other player to have that many extra base hits in the first 18 games with a team, new team, Shohei Ohtani. So how about that?
Worked out pretty well for him.
Yeah. So Connor Norby,
harbinger of things. Yeah, harbinger of things to come. Yeah. Josh Appel, you hear him at Lone Depot Park, his booming voice on the public address system. And we always enjoy talking to you on Tuesdays. It feels like we're at Twin Peaks. Can I get a flatbread over here?
Can I get a steak salad with fries, please?
I mean, anyway, there you go. Josh Appel, we got to take a break here. Take a quick break. We'll come back with more Hockman and Crowder.
We apologize. This is the Hock and Crowder Show.
Butt punt!
Hock and Crowder.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.